MPB.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
Yowza. Good morning. Horticulturist Felder Rushing here. Ain't it a great morning outside? Here it is, the day before Halloween. It's Halloween. We're going to be talking about gardening today, and we're going to kick around some emails, going to answer your phone calls. Not going to have a guest because last week we wore ourselves out with the drive time, and I really appreciate your support, folks. We're going to be here with gardening here at the last weekend in October 2009. Stick with us, folks. We're going to do some news, some national stuff, and come back with the Gestalt Gardener right here on Mississippi Public Radio, Think Radio. Again, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. On behalf of the folks here at MPB, we welcome you to the Gestalt Gardener. Hollering down the halls. Where are my emails? Of course, folks, a lot of y'all don't realize, you can't appreciate because you don't realize the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on here at MPB, that smooth segue of everything. But it has evolved a lot of running around and hollering and emailing at the last minute and stuff, usually because goofballs like me are not professional media people. Anyway, welcome to the Gestalt Gardener. Here it is, October 30th or 31st, if you listen to the rebroadcast. Going to kick around a few ideas, some things that are going on this weekend, but mostly want to just talk with you about gardening. You know, last week we suffered through it because we really did fairly well. We really appreciate the support everybody gave us during our fall drive time. The program did quite well, and I do appreciate gardeners who support MPB in my program. I do appreciate it. But because of that, we're not going to goof off today. We're going to just do gardening stuff because I said that's what we're here for. Would like to, again, thank the many supporters, though. By the way, I just ordered a book that was brought to my attention. There's a cutting-edge architect, not landscape, just an AIA architect here in Jackson named Jeff Siebold. And he sent me a link about a concept based around a book called The Real Guide to Sustainable Living. The Real Guide to Sustainable Living. That's the secondary title. The main title is Time to Eat Your Dog. It talks about how much dogs and cats and pets, how much their carbon footprint is, how much it costs the earth for us to have these kind of pets, you know, and fuel and predators and just all this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's a serious look, but a kind of a lighthearted approach. Time to Eat Your Dog. If you want to get real about sustainable living, lose the pooch. Also, there's a couple of things going on this weekend I want to mention. One in particular is going on today, Friday. If you listen to this Saturday, sorry, you missed it. Celebrations of the 75th anniversary. That's the University Florist there at Mississippi State University. I studied floral design, a couple of classes, and principles of landscape design under a fellow named Ralph Null. He's a professor emeritus of floral design there at MSU, retired. Anyway, he's going to present a lecture or demonstration free to the public at MSU today at the Chapel of Memories. It's going to start at 10 o'clock over by 11:15. But there's going to be book signing at the floral shop. They're going to have anniversary cake. They're celebrating 75 years of learning by doing. It's a teaching and learning business there, Department of Plant and Soil Sciences. I really appreciate that. Anyway, thanks, Dr. Jim Del Prince, for bringing that to my attention. Oh, and one other thing. Don't forget to fall back. What a stupid thing we did. What a stupid thing. But everybody but Arizona and Hawaii does it, so let's do it too. If you want to give us a call today and just talk about gardening, just talk about it. This is a time of year where things are kind of slowing down. They're not really geared up. You could be doing a lot of stuff. There was an interesting article in today's Clarion Ledger about a fellow who gardens raised beds year-round. And this guy's a retired surgeon, and he doesn't putter around in his garden. He grows stuff. He grows food. Nice little article if you want to pick up the Southern Style section of today's Clarion Ledger. But there are a lot of things blooming right now. In my own garden column in the Clarion Ledger, I talked about the things that are blooming right now. The things like Camellia sasanqua. with the pinks and the yellows and the reds. It's a terrific fall blooming plant. Take us well past Christmas time. And then the Camellia japonicas kick in. So we can have winter color on evergreen shrubs that will grow in all parts of Mississippi without all the stuff they say you got to do. I've seen camellias growing in the worst possible conditions, full sun, heavy clay, no water, no nothing, and still bloom. We have some in my brother's yard, which was our parents' yard, which is our grandparents' yard, which is our great-grandparents' yard. Camellias that were planted before my mother was born, and they bloom every year, and they haven't been watered or fertilized or anything in 50 years that I know of. So we can have fall color. But also we have berries. The pyracanthas are really loaded with good berries this year. The nandinas are bearing up. Native yaupon hollies, native deciduous hollies. You know, we've got so many nice red berries out there. They're starting to get loaded up pretty well. So enjoy them before the cedar wax wings find them. And what else is blooming out there? I spend a lot of time riding around just looking. I know this is the time of year when you can put pumpkins and chrysanthemums and stuff like that on your front porch and get away with it. But, oh, I know, there's an aster. It's not an aster. It's a chrysanthemum. But it's not one of these cushion mums. It's one that you plant one time and you will have it for 10, 20, 40, 50 years with no care at all. It's a big, floppy, lavender pink flower. And a chrysanthemum, the real name of it is Clara Curtis. A lot of people around Mississippi call it country girls. But Clara Curtis, chrysanthemum, it's a floppy thing. It'll fill up a bed. It's easy to propagate, easy to divide, easy to root. It never fails to bloom every October, November. Chrysanthemum, Clara Curtis. And there's others like that also. But this one I see in country gardens, upscale gardens. I see it all over the place. And where you see it, typically somebody got it from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody. So if you see a great big mass of a large 2 and 3 inch lavender pink flowers right now, that's a chrysanthemum, old pass along plant called Clara Curtis. And the people who have it will be glad to share with you because they got it from somebody else. So anyway, you can have stuff without a whole bunch of trouble and effort once you just get around to planting it. One of the things I want to do today is talk with folks on the telephone, so feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-MPB-RING. But first, let me share a couple of emails I got, some that they're pretty interesting. I caught up on my emails finally yesterday. Mike Wan from Jackson said, I have two very large rosemary plantings at the entrance to my driveway. And folks, this is a very timely question. I always tell neighbors and walkers to take some trimmings for use for culinary purposes or a sprig to start their own plantings. And thanks, Mike. That's the way we do things. But he said in the last 2 or 3 months, yellow jackets have established themselves in one of the large bushes. As much as I hate to eradicate any pollinator, I don't see how I have a choice. Sooner or later, there's going to be a stinging incident involving me or somebody else. Well, a couple of things, Mike. First of all, yellow jackets are not pollinators. They're predators. They're meat eaters. You know, they will take a piece of lump crab meat out of your hand, off your fork in an outdoor gathering. They will get down in your Diet Coke, and when you swallow it, it'll be nasty. There's all sorts of things that yellow jackets do, but they're mostly predators. They eat caterpillars and spiders and things like that. Anyway, once they make a nest in their landscape, it can be real trouble, especially this time of year, because, Mike, in the fall, as the days get shorter, nights get cooler, the yellow jacket starts frantically stocking up for wintertime. They start really getting aggressive. They'll get in your face in the fall really bad. And if you don't do something about it, there will be an incident. Here's the deal. They go into a hole in the ground. It takes them to a little chamber that they hollowed out. And at the top of that hollow chamber, imagine something like a small football-shaped cavern that they hollowed out. And at the top of that is a nest hanging down, and it's loaded with yellow jackets. If you mess with them, yellow jackets don't just protect themselves. They will follow you back to the house. They are aggressive, and they collaborate with each other to make sure they make your life miserable till you get indoors. Anyway, if you want to get rid of them, you need to clear away the entrance so you can find their hole easily. That's the real key, because you've got to put something in that hole. It's not that big, but you got to get something in the hole. You can mix up any kind of, even a mild insecticide, even a natural insecticide, mix it with water and put it in like a big plastic bottle and shove it in there upside down so it chug-a-lugs and gurgles on into the hole. That'll do it. Let me give you a hint, though. Yellow jackets can only see light at night. So what I would do is I'd get a flashlight and I'd position it on a chair or something where it's shining directly on that hole from one direction. And then you approach the nest from the other direction. The yellow jackets can only see the light shining in their compound eyes. See, so if you have a shining light right on, and by the way, turn off the porch light because they'll follow you back to the house. But in other words, shine a light on the hole at night. And if you need to make a little cardboard shield with an eye hole cut in it, something where they can't see you at night, then you can do a pretty good job fairly safely. I hate to get rid of any kind of living creature, but and yellow jackets have their big, big place in the world. But when they get in your rosemary right by where people walk by, somebody's going to get upset. And in this litigious society, I think you might need to do something about it. Let's go up to Madison and see what Sue's up to. Good morning, Sue. Howdy.
Yeah, good morning. I'm kind of ticked because our yellow jacket got me on the neck last week.
Oh, and they're not shy about it like a honeybee.
Oh no, they were hanging around. We were down at Twin Lakes, and they were in and out of the room and everything. But what I got a question about. A neighbor of mine has a gorgeous devil's trumpet plant.
Yeah, the kind.
What can you say about that?
Well, is it the big one where the flowers hang down?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's huge purple flower.
Yeah, there's purple ones, there's yellow ones, there's white ones, there's pink ones, there's peach-colored ones. But all of them are tropical. Most of them will make it through the wintertime if you leave them outside. Mm-hmm. If you cut them down on the ground and then cover it up with leaves, got to mulch it, and they'll come back from the ground next year.
It's still sitting out right now.
yeah. Is it in a pot or in the ground?
It's in a big pot.
Yeah. The purple kind is not as hardy as, you see a yellow and a white kind really common around a lot of old houses. There's several in my neighborhood. But these plants are really easy to root from pieces of stem that are about a foot and a half or so long. And so first frost, they're going to die anyway. So, if you know the people who have it, say, that sure is nice. When you get ready to prune it, can I have a cutting? Because they're they're going to cut, they have to cut it back every year.
But, they've been really working on their yard, so they're going to take care of it.
Yeah, well, this plant has to be brought in, and it gets too big. But like I say, pieces about as big around as your finger and a foot or foot and a half or so long root in water really, really easily this time of year.
Well, it's a gorgeous plant. Beautiful flower.
And there's some that are double. It's like one flower is stuffed inside the other flower. Really cool.
Well, she said the dark ones they call devil's trumpet.
Well, they're called devil's trumpet, angel trumpets. Let's just call it Brugmansia.
Okay. That's a good name.
Well, that's a Latin name.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, Sue.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we got us a caller from Philadelphia. We'll come back and talk about that. But it's almost along the same exact lines, just a different kind of plant. Got an interesting email from Taylor Kilman talking about the angel trumpets around town. Wanted to know if they'll survive the winter. Well, the yellow ones, the peach ones, the white ones, they do easily. The purple ones, maybe. But they're going to have to be cut back and then mulched. And while you're cutting them back, go ahead and root some as insurance for next year. Just in case yours doesn't make it, or also to share with other people, because that's how we get these plants. Rooting in water, shallow water, 2 or 3 inches, not too deep, and they'll do just fine. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We're here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting talking about gardening, and we'll be back with a little bit more detail right after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
Yes. A lot of folks down in New Orleans for Voodoo Fest this weekend. They got a whole lot of bands and stuff going on. A lot of cool stuff going on down there. A lot of stuff up in Memphis, too. There's things going on all over the place. But keep in mind, this weekend is when you fall back Saturday night. You need to turn your clocks either frontwards or backwards. I don't remember. Fall back. I can't remember whether that means turn your clocks back or just think backwards. I don't know. But this weekend is trick-or-treating out there, so you need to be careful, folks. Be careful if you're out driving. Be careful that you don't look too creepy when you're looking at all those kids in their costumes because some of them are looking back at you. Be careful about what you put in kids' bags because there's a lot of weird stuff out there in this world. Halloween should be fun, so let's make sure it's a lot of treats, not a lot of tricks. Let's see what Susan's up to in Philadelphia. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
What's up? What can I help you with?
I wanted to know how to root the Confederate roses.
Did you have one or your neighbor's got one?
My neighbor's got one.
And she had it very long?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's an easy plant to root. It's just like the angel trumpets, the devil trumpets I talked about earlier. You can take pieces that are about anywhere from a foot to 2 feet or so long, about as big around your finger. Not the little skinny stuff at the very end of the branch or the great big thick stuff at the base, but sections in between of the stems. And if you'll remember which end is top and which end is down and put the down end in some water, 2 or 3 inches of water in a bucket, and they will root like you wouldn't believe.
Does it need to be kept from freezing or in the dark? Or?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Now, they bloom in the fall because it's what they call a short day plant. The days get shorter. That triggers the bloom, just like with poinsettias. But you just root, just put them in a bucket of water.
And they can stay outside?
Well, I would keep it inside until, you know, because now the one that's outside in the ground, it'll die down but come back from the roots. Well, you're making cuttings, they don't have roots yet. So put them in a bucket and keep them, you know, just indoors over the wintertime.
Okay. It doesn't need to be kept in the dark?
No, ma'am. Okay. No, ma'am. I mean, this is really a tropical plant. They grow year-round in the tropics, but see, they don't go dormant like regular perennials. They get killed down at the ground by frost.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, just put them in a bucket of water and do a whole bunch of them. Do 2 or 3 buckets in case one of them goes bad.
Okay.
And I bet you your neighbors got theirs just the same exact way from somebody else.
Probably. I had some go bad one winter. I kept them inside,
uh-huh,
and they did go bad.
Well, you might, you know, the way a lot of people mess with, they put them in a lot of water. 2 or 3 inches of water is all it takes. And then,
okay,
you need to sniff it every now and then. If it's starting to smell kind of bad, it's got those little fruit flies and things about it, need to change the water.
Okay. Do you need to wait till the leaves fall off?
No, ma'am.
Get them?
You can do it any time. You know, with permission, of course.
Okay. Will daylilies come up from seed?
They do. As a matter of fact, that's where all these new hybrids come from. And a lot of people grow them. You know, they'll take pollen from one daylily and mix it with the flower of another daylily and save the seeds and see what they get and come up new daylilies.
Okay.
But,
all of mine don't make seed. Just occasionally I see a seed.
That's right. There's a lot of hybrids, and they don't even set the little seed pods. But when the seeds mature in the summertime, they look little black things. You can sprout them then, and they look like ryegrass when they come up. Keep them in a window over the wintertime, look just like ryegrass, and the next year they'll put them out in the yard, and they usually won't bloom the next year, but the year after, sometimes the next year. Having fun, Susan?
I am.
All righty.
I don't want it to get cold. I don't want my plants to die.
I don't either, but you know, that's the daffodils won't grow without cold. Got to have some cold to bring the daffodils on.
Okay.
See ya.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye. Yes, it's what we call zone envy. I wish I lived in a place where I could grow poinsettias outside. Well, you also wish you could grow peonies. Well, peonies will not bloom without cold. And speaking of poinsettias, if you haven't gotten yours ready to bloom yet, here's what you need to do. Poinsettias will bloom on new growth. They have the red flower-looking – they're not flowers, they're bracts. But they'll make that red color or pink or whatever kind you've got. But it has to be given a certain special treatment. Poinsettias naturally start doing their flower thing when the days get shorter than the nights. And that happens in the fall unless you've got a porch light or a living room light or some kind of light. They have to have total darkness for 13 or 14 hours every night. And that will trigger this blooming thing. And the way you do that, two things. First of all, you keep the plant growing. In the daytime, you give it water. Fertilize it a little bit, sunshine, all the stuff, because you got to keep the plant putting on new growth. But to make that new growth come out red or pink or whatever kind you've got instead of just green, you need to fool the plant and think it's nighttime longer than the daytime. And it's real easy. Get your cardboard box. You can paint it up, put ribbons on it, whatever you want to, but big enough to set over the plant. And every afternoon, late in the afternoon, set the box on top of the plant. You know, maybe when you get home from work or something, just cover it up, put it in a box. The next morning, which will be 13, 14 hours later, take the box off. Let it have regular daytime and stuff during the daytime. Put it in a box at night. And you'll start noticing after a few weeks that the new growth is looking kind of colorful. And when you start seeing that, then it's already triggered. You can throw the box away. But all we got to do is trick it into starting blooming and do that by giving it 13 to 14 hours of total darkness. and then regular light and water and all that stuff during the daytime. If your plant's too big, you can cut a poinsettia back easily. They'll quickly put out new growth, and that new growth will bloom. So if it's too big, cut it back, then start this covering it up at night with a boxing. I think you'll have a lot of fun. By the way, we've got some extra creepy music coming up today. The folks at MPB, sometimes they raise their eyebrows so much you can't see them anymore. But I'm playing a selection from a movie called Nightmare Before Christmas today. And it's by a person that you're not likely to hear being performed on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. That'll be coming up in 5 or 10 minutes. Let's go to Edwards. Hi, Diana. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? What can I help you with?
I was calling in. I have a question. I have my spring garden already ready, my fall garden ready, but every time I go out there to do something, the mold is just eating away everything.
Are they tunneling around, or are they chewing stuff up?
Just piling around.
Yeah.
And my sister seemed to be having the same problem. I live out in the rural area. Mm-hmm. She lives more in town.
Uh-huh.
And she seems to have the same problem. I heard several things to do, but nothing seems to work.
and it ain't going to. I've heard it all, Diana. I mean, mm-hmm. I've read a lot. I work with people who make their livings mm-hmm. in horticulture at botanic gardens. And mm-hmm. if any of those things worked, we'd all know about it. There's only two things that actually do work. One of them is you know, costs a little bit, $20-$30. You get this. It's a plunger type trap. It's called a mold trap.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you find where the tunnels are. Where they're tunneling one day, they're mm-hmm. going to be tunneling there the next day.
Okay.
But now, see, where they're working in your garden, that's not where they live. They've got like a main tunnel that goes up to a sort of a hidden burrow, sort of like a hallway, mm-hmm. and they're going down the hallway and they're going to work. So where they're working one morning, they'll be back the next morning, and that's where you set the trap.
Okay.
And you have to follow directions and use it with persistence. Sooner or later, it will work. It is the best control.
Where do you get them at?
Any of the box stores. You know, garden centers carry them. Mm-hmm. You know, the big box stores. You know, they're just called mold traps.
Mm-hmm.
And they're funny little contraptions, but they do work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second way is, Diana, if you notice, when it's warm and moist out there like it is today,
mm-hmm.
they're active. And they're active in the morning.
If
you spend a little time sitting out there, if you got somebody who doesn't have enough to do all day and sit out mm-hmm. there, you can actually see them as they start humping up the tunnels. A cat or a dog can catch a mole real easy because they just see it. And I've known people to sit out there in the morning, read the paper, drink some coffee, mm-hmm. and just watch. And when you start seeing the ground hump up, you just scoot up, stick a shovel in back behind it, dig them up, and throw them over the fence. They don't bite.
I've been trying to sit out and watch and catch, and my husband said, "You're wasting your time."
Well, your husband needs to get off your case. It seemed like he'd know better than that, wouldn't he?
You ain't gonna never catch them.
Well, a lot of people do, but you know, it just takes time, you know. And typically, women are gonna be more observant than guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he wouldn't be able to catch it,
mm-hmm.
but if you give a little persistence, you can.
Mm-hmm. So just go and get a mole trap and try and get it down in there to stop it, because it's eating away everything.
Well, actually, and the truth is, Donna, they eat grub worms and worms, but they really don't eat plants. They tunnel around, and you know, they're eating the worms and stuff like that. They're not plant eaters; they're meat eaters. But they really mess up the way things look,
mm-hmm.
and you'll turn your ankle if you step in one of those things.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So anyway, give this a try, and you know, next time you see your husband, give him that look.
Okay.
Thanks, Diana.
Thank you.
Hope I don't get in trouble with that, but guys, you ought to know better. Come on. Let's see what Jimbo's up to in Jackson. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you today?
Fine. What's up?
I got these bulbs that are coming up. I have kind of a marshy area outside my house, and I've got these bulbs that are coming up all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and they're about a foot and a half tall. They've got three green sprigs that just stand up, and I've never seen them bloom, so I have no idea what they might be.
Hmm. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, I dug some of them up and transplanted them to where I can keep a better eye on them. But
if you'll bring one by and put it on my front porch, I bet I can identify it.
I will drop a couple off for you, man.
And it's not because I'm really, really good at stuff, but, you know, I've spent a lot of time digging up bulbs. And there's some I can identify from leaves. At least we can find out if it's a daffodil or some other kind of bulb.
I was kind of thinking they might be daffodils.
Don't know.
But,
I can tell by looking at it, but other than that, we're just you know, flapping in the wind.
I'll drop some off for you. Thanks.
All righty, man. See ya. By the way, there's going to be a special event, I think, special event. First time I've ever done this in Mississippi. I give lectures all around the country about vernacular yard art. I mean, I show really high-end stuff, you know, the statuary and the, you know, the marble stuff and the contemporary things. And I show really, really bad stuff. I mean, bad stuff. And then something in between that most people can live with. What I call the good, the bad, and the unbelievable. And I'm doing a special thing at Millsaps College. It's coming Tuesday night. You know, they charge for it because, you know, it's a continuing education thing. But we've got some seats open for this. It's going to be a special, get this, 2 hours. There'll be a break in the middle, but 2 hours of looking at, talking at, describing, discussing ways you can use garden art, the high end, the bizarre, the contemporary, the classical, the homemade, the whimsical, all these different ways that you can work artistic twists into your garden, including how you, what kind of furniture you put out there, which gives a statement, what you make your walkways out of, which creates a statement, as well as the stand-up stuff. You know, imagine an 8-foot naked goddess statue at Versailles in France at Louis XIV's place, and then imagine a scarecrow in a kid's garden. They have the same function. But imagine something really bizarre in a contemporary garden that makes people say, wow. See, so I'm going to show high-end, low-end, and bizarre out there stuff, classical to contemporary and on past to the extreme stuff. This is going to be Tuesday night at Millsaps College, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. If you want some information about it, call Millsaps College and talk and ask about adult education or community enrichment or, you know, one of those kind of words. Say Felder's class Tuesday night. And again, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Tuesday, November 3rd. Yard art, the good, the bad, the unbelievable. You can also go to millsaps.edu and take it from there. We've got some callers from down on the coast. Got a caller from Mobile, Alabama. But I thought this would be a rare opportunity to play something that's thematic, something about Halloween. This is from the movie The Nightmare Before Christmas, and this is the theme song. It's played by none other than Marilyn Manson, the Prince of Darkness. We'll be right back.
Because it's Halloween, everybody scream. Won't you please make way for a very special guy? Hoffman Jack is king of the Pumpkin Patch. Everyone hail to the Pumpkin King now.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
All righty, I pawned you. First time to have Marilyn Manson on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Again, that's from the movie Nightmare Before Christmas, which is really a Tim Burton production. It is really, really interesting movie, suitable for children and grown-ups alike. Horticulture's Feller Rushing here would like to throw out again that University of Florence at Mississippi State University is having a seasonal open house this Friday, celebrating their 75th anniversary. That's where I learned floral design and under a fellow named Ralph Null, Professor Emeritus. Ralph is a fabulous guy. He's written some unbelievable books. He's done floral designs all over the country and the world. He's giving a demonstration today at 10 o'clock. It's free to the public. Chapel of the Memories on campus at Mississippi State University. Congratulations, Jim, Dr. Dale Prince, celebrating 75 years at University of Florence at Mississippi State University. Let's go down to Picayune and see what Barbara's up to. Good morning, Barbara. Howdy.
Good morning, Felder. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. One is, I just came back from Vermont and New Hampshire, and there wasn't a lot of color, but it was beautiful for Massachusetts down. But we saw autumn crocus.
Yeah.
And is it possible to grow those here?
Absolutely.
Okay. We tried in South Carolina at a couple of garden places, and they said they didn't stock them.
But Barbara, garden centers is like shoe stores. They stock what they think people will buy without having to talk them into it.
Yeah, and this lady lives there, and they said they couldn't get them for her.
Well, that's just wrong.
Oh, okay.
That's wrong. If you send me an email, I'll send you a couple of good sources. But if you can remember one, there's a fellow named Brent Heath in Virginia. His company is 110 years old. I've known Brent for a long time. Third generation bulb grower. And the name of his company is Brent and Becky's Bulbs.com. Brent and Becky Heath. Brent and Becky's Bulbs.com.
Okay.
And they've got some really good autumn crocus do fine. But now they need to be in a place to stay totally dry in the summertime, like under, you know, where they're not going to get any water or anything. That's
okay.
Where they grow best.
Yeah. Okay. Now the second question is, I took some Confederate rose cuttings to my friend in South Carolina in damp sand and was told to keep them in the shade. Now it's getting cold up there. Will they do okay?
Sure.
In sort of a porch with windows? It's not heated.
They'll do fine, but a Confederate rose will do perfectly fine outside. It dies down in the wintertime, comes back in the spring, even in the Carolinas.
Yeah, but these are only cuttings.
As soon as they get some roots on, they need to be just put in some pots.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good-sized pots. They don't dry out too much because, you know, these have big floppy leaves. And inside, in a sunny window, the low humidity causes big leaves to dry out real fast. So if you put them in a pot one or two or three gallon, pretty good-sized pot.
Yeah.
And keep them moist over the wintertime, they'll do fine.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet, Barbara. See ya. I got a comment from a caller. Says, "Don't step on a yellow jacket. It sends out an alarm to other jackets to attack." Yeah, hello. What a tiny little high-pitched squeal when you step on them. No, but there's a pheromone. There is a chemical reaction that goes out. So if you mess with yellow jackets, It'll bring others to see what's going on to help out their buds, okay? And by the way, the way I deal with yellow jackets in the garden, and they give me goosebumps on the inside of my skin, okay? Yellow jackets and wasps and things, spider webs in my face. I don't mind being a man's man, but I can squeal like a girl, okay? Anyway, the way I deal with yellow jackets is real simple. I take my glasses off, and I just don't see them. They don't bother me. They get right in your face. They're trying to, they're just in your face, little creatures, but they're not after you. They're just checking you out. Don't squeal. Don't slap. Joy's calling from Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Joy, thanks for holding. What's up?
You're welcome. I had found some shoots in my yard that I thought were bulbs, so I dug them up and put them in pots, I don't know how many years ago. And they have never done anything. And about in October, they send up the green shoots, so I think they must be spider lilies, but they won't bloom in pots, or is it because they're too crowded, or what?
Well, and it's a good question. I tell you, I can tell a spider lily from other bulbs. The spider lilies, when the leaves come up, they're kind of a medium dark green, and they have a pale little, not quite a stripe, but right down the center. Running down the center of each leaf is a little bit lighter, almost a stripe.
Hmm.
That's how you can tell spider lilies from daffodils and other things.
Uh-huh.
But to answer your question, they need sunshine, particularly in the late winter and early spring. You know, right before the leaves die down is when they make their flower bud.
Uh-huh.
So you need to make sure they get a lot of sunshine. And then real important, and by the way, crowded bulbs is a myth. You can have a thick crowd of bulbs that will not bloom, but if you fertilize them, they'll bloom. So a little bit of fertilizer, potting soil type fertilizer, and leave them outside, Joy. These plants need to be exposed to cold in the winter.
Yeah, they've been outside. Pots are in those big pottery pots that I can't even lift.
What I would do then, I would stick some, you know what pansies are?
Uh-huh.
Or you know what violas are, the little Johnny Jump-Ups?
Uh-huh.
Stick you some Johnny Jump-Ups in the top of the pot, and then give them a little fertilizer. And the fertilizer that the Johnny Jump-Ups don't use will wash down around the roots of the bulbs, and that'll help them as much as anything. A little fertilizer is all it takes.
Well, I've got pots of green shoots 2 feet high now.
Well,
and I mean, it's solid green.
Well, and that does, well, all I can say is fertilizer. You know, plants in pots are victims. They can't reach out and find stuff. You know, they're not like yellow jackets that can go next door. So you got to put some fertilizer in the pots. And I would use a good bulb food.
Okay. Then, well, I think I had put some time release fertilizer on them.
Well, that would be fine, but that's just meat and potatoes. Time release stuff doesn't have all the little stuff like zinc and copper,
right.
What they call micronutrients.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that to me, the answer is simple, fertilizer.
Fertilizer. Thank you so much.
Well,
would you answer another question, Bob?
Well, sure, but let me first mention a pot full of leaves ain't bad either.
No, I just wanted to get a bloom.
Well, stop by a place like one of these craft stores like Michael's or a Garden Center of Florida and get you some little pretty things on sticks and put in the pot. You know, little bumblebees on pots.
Uh-huh. The other question I wanted to ask you, we are taking over with what I call potato vine.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The thing that makes it thing looks like a potato.
That's right.
How in the world can we get rid of them? I don't know how many bags of those potatoes I've picked up.
This is a real common question for Gulf Coast and South. Matter of fact, it is worse than kudzu down in Florida. The only thing you can do is to dig up the tubers. They're not very deep. Dig up the original tubers and then pick up as many of the little ones falling on the ground as you can. That's all we can do.
That taken over our yard.
I know, but, it boils down to what can we do? And, the bottom line is pick up the tubers as best you can and dig up the ones coming out of the ground. And, it might take a couple of years. Once you get the worst of it out, the next year it won't be so bad. You can clean those up. It takes a year or two to get them all out, and then you're done with it. It's not fun, but, neither is sitting in traffic going to work every day, but we got to do that. Okay.
Well, we've been battling, but they seem to be winning.
Well, the key is persistence. I'm real, real sure of this. And if there's an easier solution, I'd sure tell you. But this is what I would do. And I've got degrees and written books and stuff. And I get down with my fingers and a little shovel, and I just dig stuff up.
Well,
it works.
We try, but okay. We just can't get to all of them.
Well, just stick with it. Every time you do it, it gets a little bit less. Okay? All righty. Thank you for that call from Mobile, Alabama. Now, let's see what Jay is up to in Hattiesburg. Hey, Jay. Morning.
Morning, Felder. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Well, my wife and I decided while we were shopping that we should buy a little herb garden and put it in our window.
Uh-huh.
But this was sort of without much of a plan, since neither of us really know what we're doing.
That's okay. Let's have a little fun here. I mean, you know, first time you ever made a BLT sandwich, you faked that too.
Exactly. But I knew the ingredients at least with that.
So what's up?
So we have rosemary, basil, and mint, and then some lettuce and some green onions. And they're all in kind of little pots.
Are these inside?
They are inside. We were putting them outside when it was warm.
No, but... Jay. Rosemary will freeze. I mean, excuse me. I'm sorry. Basil will freeze. And then every year you just plant more basil just like you do tomatoes and peppers, okay? If you want to keep one indoors in the winter, that's fine. But the rest of them, the rosemary, the mint, lettuce, they do better when it gets cold. Rosemary will make a bush waist high and bigger than you and your wife together can put their arms around, a bush in the yard.
Okay.
I mean, it makes a huge little bush. So rosemary needs to be outside. The mint is just considered a weed. It grows so well. And it's in a raised bed or area that stays kind of moist. And then you can keep the lettuce in pots. It is sweeter when it gets a little cold to it. It's kind of bitter unless it gets cold.
Okay. Well, we planted them in pretty small pots.
Uh-huh.
And they're starting to really fill up the pots, especially the lettuce and the green onions.
Time to eat them.
And so I wonder if we should replant them in bigger pots or just let them go.
Just eat it. Take some scissors.
Just cut it as frozen.
Listen, take some scissors, cut them back, you know, pretty close, and then give them a little fertilizer. Eat what you cut off, and then what's left to put out some new growth. But the onion and another one you ought to try is called chives.
Okay, oh, sure.
if you like the green onion, chives will take 60 below zero growing in a boot out in the snow.
Oh well, I'm from Wisconsin, so that's
I understand
that.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you know, and just play around with it. Put the rosemary out in the yard. It gets big. Put it where you have to brush through it to get to your house.
Okay. All right. What kind of fertilizer are you talking about using?
Not that big a deal. Any kind of fertilizer. See you, man. The theme song played by Thomas Grillo, America's premier thereminist from Jackson, Mississippi. This is our theme song on a theremin.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back, folks. Would like to remind people I'm doing a 2-hour, with a nice little break, a 2-hour, partly looking, partly talking, a little bit of demonstration thing on vernacular yard art. I'm calling it the good, the bad, and the unbelievable. It's a special thing at Millsaps College on Tuesday evening, November the 3rd, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Get there a little early because we're going to start right on time. Parking is easy, got good security. It's right off of State Street, so I hope to see some of y'all at Millsaps College. It's coming Tuesday night. Special thing, first time I've ever done it here in Mississippi on yard art. And believe me, folks, I've seen some weird stuff, and some of it works. So call Millsaps College, ask for adult or community education. Take it from there. Let's see what Marlou's up to in Jackson. Hey, Marlou, good morning.
Guten Morgen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Danke.
Felder, I have a question about my lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed when I was out there yesterday, there are several yellow spots on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to be concerned? Thank you.
Well, yes and no, Marlou. First of all, if there's a circle to it, if it's got a curve or a circle, that's this time of year it's going to be brown patch. Brown patch is really common right now. It's a fungus that spreads when we have a combination of warm days and cool, wet nights, which we usually have in the spring, but we're having a lot of right now. I'm seeing it everywhere. Brown patch spreads from a small spot, and it spreads outward in a circular form, sort of like a ripple on a pond. Most of the time, it's not that big a deal. If you fertilize late or you fertilize early, if you fertilize before April or after the 1st of September, you're going to cause brown patch to be worse. But if your grass is in pretty good shape, I wouldn't worry about it. It should green up fine in the spring. If you're concerned about it, go to a garden center and get a liquid spray, a fungicide that says for brown patch. If they don't have it, you're shopping at the wrong place because it's commonly available. A liquid spray, not fertilizer, but it's a spray for brown patch. Spray the circles and just beyond, and that'll keep it from spreading. It'll stop it from spreading until winter comes on and the fungus stops doing its thing. And there's a lot of products that'll control it, but it should say for the control of brown patch. And again, a liquid spray is all it takes. Hope that helps, Marlou.
You are the best. I so enjoy your program.
Well, I appreciate you asking me stuff I know.
I have a lot of questions. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. And danke. Mary from Braxton. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
Howdy.
Glad to hear you.
Thank you.
I have one big mimosa.
Uh-huh.
And it's got lots of little mimosas underneath it. And I'd like to transplant them. Should I leave them over the winter and let them get
No. I would, as soon as we get enough cold weather where the leaves fall off. You know, and they're starting to show a little color, but December, January, February, while they're stone cold dormant, that's the best time to do it.
Okay, when the leaves fall off, I won't know where they are because they're so small.
Well, go ahead and put a little ribbon around the ones you like now.
Oh, okay.
But now, let me throw this out, Mary. Mimosas have a really deep tap root, so small ones will be easier to move, and they'll be more likely to survive. So don't go for the big ones. You know, if it's more than about knee high or so, I would look for small ones, and they'll jump next year.
These are like less than 2 inches tall.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no problem there. You can dig those up with, you know, just dig a little scoop of dirt and move them without even disturbing the roots.
Okay.
But let's wait till we have a little bit colder weather.
All right. And about the rosemary in Arizona, they plant them around in commercial landscaping.
Oh, yeah. We can do that here, too. The problem is they tend to stay too wet in the wintertime. But if they're in a raised bed or a parking lot or something like that, they do great. And now let me throw out a little extra thing for you. You know those pink flowers on mimosas that are so good for bees and hummingbirds? Those aren't flowers. Those are flamingo larvae. That's where pink flamingos come from.
Okay, so, if you say so.
Happy Halloween, Mary.
Indeed, thank you. Bye-bye.
She thinks we're kidding about that. Thomas from Shivers. Thomas, where is Shivers? And what a great place to be from right before Halloween.
Yeah, really. Shivers is located down here between Pinola and New Hebron.
Okay, you're out in the boondocks, aren't you?
Yes, sir, a little bit. Not too bad.
Of course, I got a friend who lives in It, Mississippi, IT, and that's out past Jupiter. Got to go past Jupiter to get to It.
Right.
What's up? What can I help you with?
Yeah, I've noticed from time to time when I'm mowing the yard, I hit a certain patch in the yard, and I get this real strong onion-type smell.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering, is this a type of wild onion that's growing in the yard?
Wild onion, wild garlic, and they're perfectly edible. You know, back before jitney jungles and supermarket and stuff, people used to eat out in their yards. Those wild onions, wild garlic are perfectly edible. You just cut them, snip them up, chop them up, put them on any way you would use multiplying onion type things.
Okay, so I can dig them up and reuse them.
Yeah, but now they're not going to make a big bulb. Like, you know, we've grown, just like they grew roses to be real fancy. They've grown onions to have bigger bulbs. These out there, they're not going to make a big bulb. So really, you wash them off, you chop them up, the leaves and the little small bulb thing together, and just use them like that.
Oh, okay, something like a chive. You do a chive.
Exactly. And of course, I'm assuming that you're not spraying them with herbicides first.
Oh, no, I don't use herbicides in my yard.
Time to munch.
Right, it is that.
Yep, your neighbor's gonna worry about you out there grazing in the yard. But all you gotta do is look at them and frown or smile.
Right. I just noticed it all from time to time when I'm mowing. I get that onion smell.
Ain't no thing. Make sure they smell like onions. You're not accidentally eating the daffodils, and you'll be in good shape.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha. Oh, me, we got another call on the line. We'd like to, before I get off the air, before I forget, to thank my producer, Ezra Wall. He does a fabulous job and makes me feel like I'm doing some good stuff. And then Kevin Farrell in there, he's running the boards. And these guys are who make it possible for us to yak about gardening. Now, we've gone from the Gulf Coast. Now, we go all the way up to what I call the icebox, Corinth, Mississippi. Hey, Ralph, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fine.
Enjoying the program.
Thank you, sir.
Question about azaleas. I have noticed the last few days there are still azaleas here in our community that's blooming.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, we're starting to run out of time, but there are fall blooming azaleas called Encore.
Encore?
And also a lot of spring blooming azaleas will pop a few flowers in the fall. Not all of them, but they'll pop a few flowers early in the fall after a stressful summer. But it ain't no thing. Or is it nothing but a thing?
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet, Ralph. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Encore azalea is doing fine. Some of the spring bloomers pop a few buds. Not that big a deal. Folks, be careful this weekend, Halloween weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back. And if you get a chance to get out, plant a few fruit trees, maybe carve a pumpkin this weekend. Help out the farmers a little bit. Have fun. Use Halloween as an excuse to have a little fun in the garden. I'm going to try to get home, put some more wood on my fire. Maybe plant a few pansies, a few bulbs. I'm going to go out and get dirty. Won't you join me? Horticulture's Fellow Rushing here from Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Boo.
MPB. This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.